Lord this morning. We serve a great, big, and wonderful God. And He's doing great, big, wonderful things in this church. Before we get to the Word of God this morning, which is coming from the 13th chapter of Hebrews, you can turn there now, but please stay seated for a few moments. I think we need to take the time to take a few minutes and reflect on what God is doing in our midst.
Yes.
90 days ago, exactly 90 days ago, the Lord gave me a message to this house called Man in the Mirror.
All right.
Some of you remember that. And it started out, I said, if I would want to give a state of the union of our church, I'd say the church was in a state of transition. And I have to be obedient to what the Lord told me to say this morning. Even though I didn't necessarily want to say it. And for those of you that are guests this morning, you're going to kind of eavesdrop in on some of the things that the Lord is doing in our church. You know, sometimes we have a tendency, and it's the case with most of our churches, to look at what God is doing elsewhere and say, well, why can't we do that? Because while there may be bigger, cooler, more popular churches doing bigger, cooler, more popular things, I think that we just need to take the time and we ought to embrace the uniqueness of our own church.
Yes.
We ought to be grateful for what we have. While we may not have all the resources and all the numbers and all the facilities that some other churches have, we need to be thankful that we don't have the problems some of those other churches have.
That's right.
Instead of always looking at what God's doing someplace, but just to give Him some praise for what He's doing right here. Because if we're not thankful and appreciative for what He's doing here, He may not ever do anything else here. Seven months ago, Lily Baptist Church, we started on a journey of major significance. And at first glance, it might appear that we were doing some things that were absolutely contrary to the will of God and going in a completely different direction. See, what we did was we changed the format of our Wednesday night Bible studies. We began studying a book called The Purpose-Driven Life. And to some, that would appear to be a bad thing because the format of our Bible study had changed from a traditional Wednesday night service to resembling almost a book club. Because we read the book, we gather together every week, and we study, and we go through the book. But we made that decision because we believed that the Lord was leading us in that direction so we could gain deeper insights into the Word of God. Because if any believer anywhere is going to do anything for the Lord, we have to have an understand a belief, an understanding, and application of God's Word. See, because when we understand God's Word, we're better equipped to contribute to God's kingdom. And when we contribute to God's kingdom, we're better equipped to reach God's people. And when we reach God's people, we're better equipped to be pleasing in God's sight and bring God's glory. See, 2010 has been a year of great change and transition in our church.
Yeah,
I've been doing some great, big, wonderful things in our church. We've seen many of our members really start to take their relationship with the Lord more seriously, and we've seen the evidence of that spiritual transformation through what they have learned and apply
mm-hmm.
the Word of God.
That's right.
Minister Barnwell and I have been talking about this a great deal lately, and we both taking note that the transformation really began to manifest itself in earnest
mm-hmm.
this past summer,
yeah.
again the last 90 days.
Mm.
So let's just take a minute to look at what's happened here in this church over the last 3 months. If you drove here this morning and parked your car, you parked your car in a paid parking lot.
Amen.
That happened within the past 90 days.
Right.
When you entered the building, you either came in through the front door, and when you came in through the front door, you came up some repaired, brand new carpet steps, or you came in through the back door through a new handicap ramp. That happened within the past 90 days. As I speak to you this morning, my voice is being transmitted over a new cordless microphone system.
Mm.
Now, nothing was new with the old system, but we had to change the system out to be compliant with federal regulations, and that was not cheap. But our great, big, wonderful God made the provision for us to be able to afford it.
That's right.
We even launched a new website. While some may not think that's important or necessary, but while you're looking at the bigger, cooler, more popular things that other churches are doing, we did some big, cool, popular things here.
Mm-hmm.
Our website's better than most. You can listen and download every sermon.
Mm-hmm.
There's Bible studies. There's announcements. You can either pay your tithes and offerings online at our website. We've upgraded our lighting system in the basement, in the dining room, for the last 90 days.
Yes.
We made other changes. You know, we even lost our musicians for maternity leave for about 60 or 90 days, and a 16-year-old child came in and filled in, and he didn't miss a beat. But as much as the Lord has enabled us to change the physical building and some other things here, the most significant transformation to take place in this church has been within the people.
Yes, sir.
See, one of the most important things we did over the last 90 days is we actually spent a day here feeding the neighborhood. We handed out free food and free drinks in the community, and Minister Marlowe and I actually walked the streets of this neighborhood just sharing the glorious gospel of the neighborhood. And letting people know that there's a church right around the corner from them that loves them, that cares for them, that wants to minister to them, and help them grow closer to the Lord.
Yeah.
We got more involved in prison ministry and other forms of outreach. And right now we even have a drive going on for Harvest of Hunger. In this church. This church. God is doing some great things in our midst. And I don't want you to think I'm saying that to brag or to pat ourselves on the back, because make no mistake, we get no glory in anything that we've done, because all we've done is for God's glory.
Yes.
We have to realize that God is not blessing anything that we're doing, but because we have submitted to His will, He's allowed us to do the things that He's blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the faithful, obedient contribution and prayers of those connected with this ministry, we are, as Minister Barnwell said last week, riding the wave. Riding the wave.
Right now.
Mm-hmm.
We have a great deal of momentum and excitement in our church now, and we have to keep it up.
Mm.
And the way we're going to keep riding the wave is found in the world, is found in the word that the Lord has for us this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So please, finally, stand to your feet and make sure that your Bible is open to the 13th chapter of Hebrews, because we're only going to read one verse. One verse. That verse is going to teach us how to keep riding the wave. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
And let's read Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 in unison. Let brotherly love continue.
Amen.
Let brotherly love continue. Because with all that is going on in our midst, with all that God is doing for us, if we don't move forward in brotherly love, all of it, is going to be God is taking us somewhere special. And the only way we're all going to get there is to let brotherly love continue.
Right.
Amos 3:3 asks the question, can two walk together?
Mm-hmm.
Unless they agree.
That's right.
We know where that answer is.
Mm-hmm.
We know that we must make a commitment to show real, genuine, sincere love for one another if we want to continue to experience the presence and power of God. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you're doing for us. Your
thank
word,
you.
Spirit, and your words are life, and we just come to you now and say thank you
for
just
thank
the opportunity
you.
To fellowship with one another.
Yes, sir, Lord.
Lord, as your word goes forth this morning, bring a spirit of conviction to your people this morning, Lord. And let the word take immediate root and spring forth an immediate harvest so that we do the things that are pleasing in your sight.
Mm-hmm.
Father, I am completely yielded and submitted to you right now, Lord. Have your way in this place. Speak through me, move through me, minister through me. Touch your people this morning like only you can.
Yes.
We give you all glory, all honor, and all praise.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
To Pastor Barnwell and the First Lady Barnwell on this 6th anniversary.
Amen.
Pastor Barnwell and Pastor Gray and Minister Davis and all that are in the house this morning.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let brotherly love continue.
Let
often big impact.
Yeah.
I think most people who have had some familiarity with Christianity would consider the Apostle Paul to be somebody of major import
all right now.
Within Christianity. Paul was pretty good. What is that? So when we look at the Apostle Paul, we see somebody that was mighty in God's kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Once he made the decision to stop fighting Christ and start following Christ, he let nothing stand in his way.
Yeah.
He let persecution, prison, peril, problems, stop him from planting churches, mentoring pastors, spreading the gospel, and by the way, writing half the New Testament that we still preach out of 2,000 years later.
Yes.
Nothing stopped him from fulfilling the purpose to which God called him.
Yes.
But there's some things when we read Paul's writings that I find pretty important. He said in 1 Corinthians 13, he says, even though he spoke with the tongues of men and angels.
Yes.
If he didn't have love, it would have been all a waste of time.
Yeah, that's right. That's
he
right.
said even though his faith was strong enough to move mountains, that he could prophesy and operate in the full manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit without love, it meant nothing. At some point, we need to understand that no matter how much we accomplish for God, at the core of all that we do for Him, love and only love has to be our motive. So as we ride the wave and God elevates us and promotes us and enables us to accomplish great things for the kingdom, we must remember to let brotherly love continue. And the reason why that's so important is because operating in brotherly love does four things. It identifies us. It fortifies us.
Yes.
It unifies us.
Yes.
And it purifies
all
of us.
Right now.
Thank you.
Let's talk about that first for a minute. Brotherly love identifies us. Jesus said in John 13:35 that people would identify us with him and know that we were his disciples if we love one another. It's the brotherly love that we display toward one another that signifies to the world that we are indeed Christians.
Yes.
In a lost, dying, hurting world, people are looking for the evidence of Christ in the Christian.
Yes.
But when we fail to demonstrate brotherly love, we hamper our credibility, our witness, and our testimony.
Yes.
And when that happens, just like Paul said, everything else we do is a waste of time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, we have a great man on this, Deacon Hendricks, and often he reminds us that people can't hear what we're saying because they're watching what we're doing.
That's right.
And that's so true. Because our identification in Christ is not evident by how much Bible we know.
Right.
Our identification in Christ is evident by how much Bible we show. Jesus said in Matthew 22 that everything God has ever required of mankind can be boiled down into two simple commandments. Love God and love one another.
All right.
That's it. If you get those two things right, you can pretty much handle everything else. If we're going to be obedient to God and those commandments, we can't separate loving God from loving one another.
Mm-hmm.
They go hand in hand. You can't separate the two. It's just like if you have fire, you have heat. You can't separate the two. If you have ice, you got cold. You can't separate the two.
Mm-hmm.
If you got water, you got wet. You can't separate the two. If you got chickens, you got nasty. You can't separate the two. Okay, maybe that last one just my opinion. But you get the idea. Those first three are true, okay? I don't want to offend the chicken lovers in the house, but you can't be more up. But we can't separate. We can't separate loving God from loving one another.
That's right.
We see people who try to do that all the time, and it doesn't work.
Right.
If we look at some of the great humanitarians in the world, they love people.
Mm-hmm.
They raise or donate large sums of money. They are part of some great, big, wonderful causes. They do great works. They're politically engaged. They're civically engaged. But they have some of them have no love for our great, big, wonderful God.
Yeah, that's right.
At the same time, you can look at some that call themselves Christians. They're in church every time the door is open. They can recite the Bible backwards and forwards in eight different translations of Hebrew and Greek. They serve on this board, that board, they're part of this committee, they're part of that ministry. But some of them can be the most hateful, selfish, meanest people you ever want to come across. So if we're going to be complete and if we're going to be whole, we need to love God and love other people.
All right.
Because that's how brotherly love identifies us.
All right.
But also, brotherly love fortifies us and it unifies us.
Mm-hmm.
When something is fortified, that means it's made stronger. It's made more effective. It means it's protected. That it can better withstand an attack or an attempt to destroy it. So we're fortified and we're unified by our love toward one another.
Yes.
And see, we don't always realize just how much power, just how much strength we get from our relationships with other people. The devil knows it though. That's why he always tries to launch an attack in the area of our relationships. See, no matter how smart, how gifted, how good looking, how talented, or even how rich you are, at some time in your life, you are going to come across a problem that you don't know how to solve, and you're going to need the help of somebody else. We're called the body of Christ because a spiritual body is composed of individual parts that function together, just like a human body. Our brotherly love is based upon mutual giving and receiving. We're dependent upon each other.
That's all right.
I need you, and you need me. Ecclesiastes 4 tells us that two are better than one because they can help each other. They can help each other succeed, and by working together in unity, they can supply each other, protect each other, and sustain each other.
Yeah.
You see, sometimes we don't realize until we get into trouble. Just how true that is.
Mm-hmm.
I think he said in the Sunday school this morning, nothing transforms us and enables God to get our attention like trouble.
Right.
At the same time, nothing reveals who our real brothers and sisters are like trouble does. When you face trials and tribulations, that's when you realize, that's when you learn who your real friends are. See, those that share in our afflictions are often the ones with whom we form the closest bond.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard people say when they're in trouble, you know, I didn't realize you loved me like that until this happened.
Mm-hmm.
See, when we really examine how important love is among the brothers and sisters, it makes us view everything.
Yes.
In a different light.
Mm-hmm.
Here's an example. I think most people in the room can quote John 3:16.
Mm-hmm.
It says, "For God so loved the world, mm-hmm. he gave his only begotten Son,
mm-hmm.
and whosoever believes in him should not perish mm-hmm. and have everlasting life." Not only does that verse explain God's plan of salvation, but it goes deeper and gives us a fresh insight into the principle that governs loving relationships. The scripture says, "So God so loved the world, or loved the world so much that he gave." Giving is a natural result of loving.
Right.
You can give without loving, but it's impossible to love without giving. Love produces giving, and giving produces life. So God so loved the world that he gave. And the result of that giving produced everlasting life. When we love each other and we give to each other, it strengthens us and it produces life in us that fortifies us and unifies us. So that's why we've got to let brotherly love continue. Because it identifies us, fortifies us, unifies us, and also it purifies us. 1 Peter 1:22 tells us that along with obedience to God's truth and acceptance of Jesus Christ, you don't have to look this stuff up, we are purified through our love for one another.
Yes.
God's presence is evident and manifested among his people when brotherly love is manifested and evident among his people. 1 John says that fellowship with Christ and with one another causes us to walk in light.
Yes.
And walking in light cleanses us from all sin. And every person in the room needs to be cleansed from sin. So, while accepting Christ is a decision that we have to make, that you need to make for yourself, once you do it, you'll never be by yourself. Because we're not called to be lone rangers in the family of God. We're not called to be an army of one. We're called to unite and to walk side by side with our brothers and our sisters.
Yes.
And that's why we're extending an invitation to discipleship to you right now. See, it's critical for your eternal destiny that you accept Christ as your Savior. In order for you to reach heaven, you must be identified in Christ. And once you've identified in Christ, it's important for you to belong to a local fellowship of believers.
Amen.
You need to be part of the Bible-loving, Bible-teaching, Bible-believing fellowship. Because the church is where you're sustained and developed for service to the kingdom and to others.
Yeah.
So this person said, see, the church is where you're fortified in service, you're unified in others, you're purified through disciple-making process, so you can live a lifestyle that represents our great, big, wonderful God.
Yes, sir.
Pastor Barnwell often says that fish can't live without water, and Christians really can't live without the church. Whatever state that you're in right now, whatever brokenness or hurt that you're experiencing right now, if you would just trust Jesus with your soul, with your eternal by yourself. Not only will you belong to him, if he'll never leave you, we won't either. Do we have one?
Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Praise Him.
We pray that what may have occurred this morning, that you'll be glorified as well. And as you are glorified, we know the faithful part of what your people do.